You're welcome.
Thank you, Mangali. Good morning, church. I hope I'm audible. When I first moved to New Zealand, I noticed people having a weather app on their phone. And that felt very strange to me. I originally come from the southern part of India, where we have primarily only two seasons. Summers and summers. So it's like hot, hotter and hottest. We do have a bit of rain sometimes here and there, but yeah, it's mostly hot. So when I came to New Zealand, I loved this place. Obviously, it was beautiful, but also for the first time, I got to experience different seasons like autumn and spring. I don't want to mention winters because I'm not a big fan of it. But we are really blessed to be in a country where we get to experience different seasons. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God says, "Let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years." Seasons are built into the architecture of creation. Solomon, who had the gift of wisdom, writes what might be the most raw book in the entire Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is how he starts chapter 3. "To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." And then he sits and lists each one of them. He says, "There is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Solomon isn't being depressing here. He is just being pastoral. He's saying, not everything you experience is permanent. Some of it is just a season. There is a divine rhythm to life that is bigger than your current moment. But here's what happens to most of us. We don't trust this rhythm. We hit a hard season and we feel that God has abandoned us. Or if we hit a good season, we stop praying altogether. We cry out only in summers. We cry out only in winters, but we can go silent in the summers. And neither of those responses are good responses. Faith is trusting the farmer when we don't know what the field is doing. I want to walk you through four people from the scriptures, each one of them in a different season of their life. Because Bible is not just a book for people in crisis. It's a book about different people in different seasons. And maybe one of their stories is your season right now. We look at Genesis chapter 12. God speaks to a 75-year-old man named Abraham. He says, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." God doesn't give Abraham a particular address to go to. He doesn't hand Abraham a five-year plan or a map or anything of that sort. God says, "Get out of this place and go to a place which I will show you." So he hasn't shown him yet. And there seems to be a lot of uncertainty, isn't it? Like, what kind of a land is it going to be? Would there be food there? What kind of people would there be? And what kind of a job would I do over there? How many of you can relate to those questions? I had many of those when I came to New Zealand. Abraham packs everything, his wife, his nephew, his possessions. He leaves a city, his own city, which is probably a city of culture and comfort and security for him. He walks away from all of that on the strength of a voice and a promise. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, he went out not knowing where he was going, and that is faith. That is the nature of spring. Something new, a fresh start, a seed that has been planted and has no idea what kind of a tree it's going to become. Some of you are in that spring right now. God has said something to you. Maybe a new direction, a new calling, a new relationship, or maybe even a new city. And you're standing at the edge of it. Everything in you is excited and terrified at the same time. Billy Graham once said, "Step out in faith and God will show you." Abraham was a great example. He stepped out in faith and God showed up with a covenant, with a son, with a nation, and with a legacy that will eventually give this world its savior. Trust God in spring, when everything is uncertain and the promise is still a small seed. Let's move on to summers. Summers is when everything is in full swing. The crops are tall, the sun is high, the harvest is coming, it's productive, it's abundant, and it is also a season where if you're not careful, you forget who made the garden grow. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we read about a man named Solomon. He is newly crowned, he is young, he is humble. God appears to him in a dream and says, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon doesn't ask for riches, or he doesn't ask for victory over his enemies or any long life or any of that kind of request. He asks for one simple thing. He says, wisdom. He asks for wisdom, and that's not for himself. He wanted to lead God's people well, and that is why he needed that wisdom. And we see that God is so moved with that request that he gives Solomon not only wisdom, but also wealth and honor beyond any king before or after his time. And then summer arrives. Solomon builds a temple for God, probably the most magnificent temple the ancient world has ever seen. The Queen of Sheba comes from the ends of the earth to just witness the wisdom of Solomon. Gold flows like river, peak fruitfulness, and it just doesn't get any better than this. And then we read in 1 Kings chapter 11, but King Solomon loved many foreign wives, and his wives turned his heart away from God, little by little, compromise by compromise. The summer got so comfortable, so self-sufficient and loud with abundance that Solomon stopped hearing the voice that made it all possible. I heard this the other day. The greatest threat to your next season is not your enemy. It is your comfort in your current one. The book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, he looks back on all his summer days and he says, "Vanity of vanity, everything is vanity." The man who had everything is saying this. How the irony, isn't it? Summer is a season where we could stop praying or fasting because, you know, well, things are going good. Who needs that? We read the Bible a little less because life is so full and busy and we don't feel the need right now. If you are in your summer right now and if things are going well, if doors are open, there's fruit on every branch, this is my request to you. Don't go silent on God in the sunshine. Don't stop praying or fasting or reading the Word of God. Stay hungry, stay grateful, and stay surrendered. Because you know what? The summers that make you forget God is more dangerous than any winter ever was. Anyone here loves the autumn season, the one we are in right now? Autumn, in my opinion, is probably a misunderstood season because we tend to read it as decline. The leaves are falling, the days are getting shorter, the harvest is ending, and we think something is dying. But autumn is a season of release. The tree is not dying when it drops its leaves. It's conserving, it's preparing. It's doing something wise and necessary so that winter doesn't break it. And the most beautiful autumn in all scripture, in my opinion, belongs to John the Baptist. The Bible talks about this man called John. He is preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near." People went out to him from all Jerusalem and all Judea, confessing their sins, and were baptized by him in the Jordan River. He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire." He was probably the most significant prophet in around 400 years that people have seen. And then Jesus begins his ministry, and the crowd slowly starts shifting. John's disciples come to him worried. They say, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond Jordan, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." And John at that point says something really mature. He says, "He must increase and I must decrease." John the Baptist, at the height of his influence, chooses to let go. He doesn't fight for his platform. He doesn't get bitter. He just chooses to let go. It feels like he's pointing to every person in the crowd. And he points every person in the crowd to Jesus, and he's saying, "This is where you belong." Autumn is not a season of failure, and some of you might be in this season right now. Something that was fruitful is winding down. Maybe a chapter is closing, a ministry, a role, or a relationship. And everything in you wants to hold on, because letting go right now feels like a loss. But what if the most God-honoring thing that you could do right now is to just release it beautifully? Charles Spurgeon wrote, "It takes more grace to lay something down than it does to pick something up." And John the Baptist modeled it perfectly for us. So don't worry about your autumn. Don't fight the falling leaves. Just let go and trust what comes next is going to be worth it. Let's move on to winters. Winter is the season not many people are fond of. It's a season of silence, waiting, and a feeling like nothing is actually happening. And it's the season most of us, if we are honest about it, are afraid of. We read about this man in the Bible, Joseph, the son of Jacob, who was his father's favorite. This man made his brothers very jealous, especially after Joseph shared dreams showing that he would one day rule over them. Out of jealousy, his brother sold him as a slave and told their father that your son is dead. Joseph was taken to Egypt as a slave, where he worked in the house of Potiphar. Even though he was faithful, he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. In prison, Joseph began to interpret dreams. He had a gifting. And that gifting eventually brought him to Pharaoh, where Joseph explained Pharaoh's dreams. Joseph predicted 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. Very impressed, Pharaoh made Joseph second in command over Egypt. This entire journey of Joseph being sold as a slave to Joseph being in a position of power in Egypt, it took 13 years. 13 years, can you imagine? And over that period, if you read the Bible carefully, there's one sentence, one verse, which is repeated quite often. "But the Lord was with Joseph." In Genesis chapter 39, we read that is in, in Genesis chapter 39, it is almost repeated around 4 times. In verse 2, it says, "The Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house." Verse 3 says, "His master saw that the Lord was with him." Verse 21 says, "The Lord was with Joseph in prison." And verse 23 says, "The prison keeper saw that the Lord was with him." Can you see the repetition? Winter usually doesn't come with any explanations, but it does come with the presence of God. I came across this quote: God doesn't always change your season by changing your situation. Sometimes he changes your season by changing you. Joseph in prison is not the same person as Joseph in the palace. The pride of a favored 17-year-old would have destroyed a nation. But the humility of a 30-year-old man who has been in prison, who has been through the pit, that is the man who can be trusted with power. The winter did not break Joseph, it built him. If you are in your winters right now, I'd like to encourage you. Your season is not a punishment. It is not proof that God has abandoned you. It's the hidden work of God beneath the surface. The tree in winter looks dead, but underground, something is happening. The roots are going deeper. The nutrients are being restored. And the tree is preparing for a spring it cannot see yet. So don't quit in winters. Don't make permanent decisions based on a temporary season in your life. Because one morning, suddenly, a Pharaoh will have a dream and your name will be on God's lips. We live in an age, probably more than any generation before us, where waiting feels like a failure, isn't it? We have apps that promise same-day delivery. We have instant answers in our pockets. We have social media showing us everyone else's summer when we are still in our winters. And the temptation, the deep, dangerous temptation, is to force the season. Abraham and Sarah tried to force the season. God had promised them a son. They waited and waited and waited. And Sarah said to Abraham, "You know what? Take my servant Hagar. Have a child with her. Let's just help God." And from that forced season came Ishmael in a thousands of years of conflict, which we are still witnessing. Saul tried to force the season. He was supposed to wait for Samuel before offering the sacrifice. But Samuel was getting late and the army was scattering. So Saul said, "You know what? I'll just do it myself." And Samuel shows up immediately and says, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God. The kingdom will not continue with you." Impatience in a season comes with a cost. There is a saying, don't abort what God is gestating. A baby forced out too early is usually in crisis. Some of the things that you have been praying for isn't being delayed because God has forgotten. It is being delayed because it is probably just being formed. So how do we walk well in our current season? Let me give you three tips. First, don't pretend you're in a different one. If it's winter, call it a winter. David did that. Psalm 22 starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And if you're in your summers, abundant and fruitful, bless others, like how Joseph did when he ruled Egypt. Own your season. Second, find out what your season is producing. We know that every season produces different fruits. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, we read about 9 fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You will notice that the season that you are in is probably producing at least one of these fruits. In fact, one of the best ways to know if you're growing in God or not is to see how many of these fruits have you produced, has the Holy Spirit produced in you over a course of time. And third, stay connected to the gardener. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." So if God is pruning you, It's a good thing. He's preparing you to bear more fruits. Jesus says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You won't be able to produce the fruits of the Spirit if you aren't connected to the gardener. So in every season, pray. In every season, stay with the Word. And stay with the community of other believers. Because seasons are easier to endure when you're not enduring them all by yourself. When I came to New Zealand, I learned something that most New Zealanders already knew: to dress differently for each season. And I find that honestly to be a lot of hard work. In contrast, for every spiritual season in your life, you will need only one garment. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Christ is the only garment you will need for every season of your life. God is not confused by where you are right now. He authored it. He knows the length of your winter. He knows the heat of your summers. He knows what needs to grow in you in spring, and he knows what needs to be released in autumn. And not one single day of any of this is wasted in his hands. Because this is what he has promised. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. Through the waters, through the rivers, through the fire. Not around them, through them. God is going to be with you in every season of your life. Let's pray. Lord, in the scriptures, Daniel says, you change times and seasons. Thank you, Lord, for designing these. Thank you, Lord, that none of them are permanent. Thank you that not one day is going to be wasted in your hands. We thank you, Lord, for the fruits of the Spirit that are produced in us during this process. And Lord, wherever we are right now, walk with us through the fire, through the waters, and through the river, Lord. Help us to feel your presence every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.